Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Today, we are going to be doing our next session in the book of Mark. Each of us elders take a first Sunday of the month, and Mike and Jamie are with Jamie's family today, and I'm glad they get a chance to get away. They need to do that, and especially been putting up with us for 9 years. He needs to get away from here, huh? Yeah. Anyway, no, Mike's a wonderful guy, wonderful guy. So today we are in Mark chapter 5. When you give people advice, do they listen to you? Do they do what you say? What about in your life, in your work, or in your home, or school, or church? Do those people listen to you? Do people accept what you ask or tell them to do? Sometimes people are frustrating to you, you know, I ask you to do this. And we have authority in different situations, different places we're at in our lives. And today, the key word is authority. Jesus is authority. Jesus is authority. But what does authority mean? What is authority? Do I need to do something different to... I started with a... Okay, that's not my screen. Well, it is my screen, but not my screen. Okay, what do I need to do different? Oh, there we go. My fault, not you guys back there. You guys know what you're doing. Okay. This is just a slide to get us started. It's the orange is a region called Decapolis, and that's where our story takes place. If you look way at the top of the orange region area, you might be able to see the little blue Sea of Galilee. You remember last time Mike talked, he did a really good job. He talked about fear. I remember that, fear. Because of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, now Jesus and the disciples are going over to that orange part on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where our story takes place. I just wanted you to know that. But the story is about Jesus and his authority. What is authority? I'm going to put this next slide up here, and then I'm going to read you some things, and listen as I read. I'm sorry, this next. This concept of authority is something that causes another person to do what you want them to do. It is reflected in most definitions. Authority is a power or right, usually because of rank or office, to issue commands and to punish for violations. We see the same idea in sophisticated examinations of authority. For instance, there's a gentleman at the Colorado Institute of Technology Journal that gives this analysis of authority. One, authority of competence. Authority of competence. The more competent the other fellow knows you are, the more competent that the yellow fellow knows you are, the more confident he will be that you know what you are talking about, and the more likely he will follow your orders, requests, or suggestions. He will think of you as an authority in the matter under consideration and will feel it risky to ignore your wishes. Authority of competence. Authority of position. This component gives you the right to sell somebody, do it or else. It has teeth. The boss wants it done. It's a bugle call and call that can snap many in an office or shop into action. Does it do work for your kids? Do it or else? You guys that have young kids? The authority of position. You're the parent. The authority of personality. The easier it is for the other fellow to talk to you, to listen to you, or to work with you, the easier he will find it to respond to your wishes. Authority of personality. And authority of character. This component is your credit rating. Your credit rating with other people as to your integrity, reliability, honesty, loyalty, sincerity, personal morals, and ethics. Obviously, you will get more and better from a man who has respect for your character than from one who hasn't. A definition of authority. Now that we've kind of got those thoughts running through our mind, let's go to our scripture in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to read it, and then we'll come back and look at it some more. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he was often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons from his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. And the demon begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission. The impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw a man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let's pray as we get started. Jesus, I pray as we've read this event story in Scripture, that you would help us to apply it to our lives. You would be with me as I speak, and may your spirit work in our spirits, Lord, as we try to understand this. So, amen. Today, we've looked at authority, and Jesus has authority over the events that happen in our life. He had authority over the events that happened in this story in Scripture. He has authority. He has the authority. He has the authority in all of those areas. The authority of competence, the authority of position, the authority of personality, the authority of character. And with that authority, in this passage, we are going to look at what I'm calling four bigs. Four bigs in this passage. Maybe you have some bigs in your life. But in here, there's a big problem, a big authority, a big fear, and a big plan. A big plan. And Mike always likes to give a takeaway. I like to give a takeaway. Nice and simply, remember, Jesus has authority. Jesus has authority. No questions, no ifs, and buts. Jesus has authority. Remember that, and I think we see that in this story. So the first big I want to talk about, remembering that Jesus has authority, is a big problem coming from these verses. The man in this account, anybody want to trade places with him before he sees Jesus? It seems like he's just a common, ordinary man that had become demon-possessed. And think of the areas of his life. What was his home life like? He lived in the cemetery. Not too good a home life. Not the place you would want to be. Has anybody been in the cemetery at night ever? Tried to walk through and scare yourself or anything? When I grew up, we actually had a cemetery that wasn't used anymore, just back in the woods a little bit, and we would go up there and stuff, and it wasn't too scary or anything, but it's kind of weird having a cemetery close. He lived in the cemetery. This man was isolated from his family, and this isolation may have been forced on himself, or maybe he chose to do it. Luke adds a little bit to the story. Luke adds, he didn't bother to wear clothes. Okay, parents, you don't want to walk your kids by this guy's tomb area, and you'll have all kinds of questions coming out. He didn't wear clothes. He was just demon-possessed. I call this, he lacks social norms. We all show up with clothes on, okay? That's a social norm. You do that. No questions asked. This guy didn't have the social norms. The other thing in verse 3 and 4, we're told that he lived among the tombs. No one can bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Others around were trying to help out as best they could. The only thing they knew is, let's put chains in, a straitjacket, and he won't hurt himself, and maybe we can keep him dressed that way and bring him home. But their help was no good because it was futile. They tried to help him, and he just broke the chains and shackles. Now, many of you have probably worked with a chain. Can you imagine the power to break a chain? These demons were powerful in him. And it sounds like that the shackles were on him too, the part that goes around your wrist, and that broke away. This man had superhuman power through the demons that were in him. And others tried to help him, and they just couldn't. He was also, another issue he had, is he was bound by sleepless nights. He was up all night crying out. How many of us have some sleepless nights? How many of us have a home life that's maybe not perfect like his was? How many of us have issues in our life? Things that cause us to lay awake at night. Last night, did you have a time when you were awake? What were you thinking about? It does happen to us, but Jesus has authority over everything. All those things that are happening to us. This guy was also bound by self-inflicted harm. He cut himself with rocks. In today's world, this guy would be in an institution. They don't call them insane asylums anymore. What would you call it? I don't know. He would be institutionalized somewhere because he's cutting himself with the rocks. He had all kinds of problems. He had big problems, things that he couldn't overcome. He had a poor physical condition in his life. But his biggest problem was the fact that a legion of demons dwelt in him. A legion of demons. We're not told why, how. I mean, I don't believe demons can just choose somebody and go inside and dwell in their spiritual soul area. I don't believe that. You have to get involved in things and get in closer to evil and never do that. Never do that. Don't allow yourself to get anywhere close to evil influences that might get to the place where you could actually have a demon indwell you and take over your life. We're told here, though, that this guy, he really had it rough. The quantity of demons was great. It was a legion. We're told in the Roman world, in the army, a legion was about 5,000 men. Now, I wouldn't say that definitely means that there was exactly 5,000 demons in this guy. It's just that there was a lot. A lot. What a terrible life he had. What a big problem he had. What a big situation. Sometimes we have big situations in our lives. Sometimes we have little situations in our lives. But God, Jesus has control. Jesus has all authority over any and every problem we have in our lives right now. Jesus has all authority in all of those. So, number one, big problem. When you face a big problem or any problem, remember, and I'm going to repeat this several times, Jesus has the authority of competence. Jesus has the authority of position. Jesus has the authority of personality. And Jesus has the authority of character. Absolute authority. And that's the part of the second point, the second big in this passage is the authority of Jesus. When we have given our lives to Jesus, we've given it to the perfect authority. In this section here, the actual order of events, it's changed a little bit in the wording, but the man or the demons run and fall at Jesus' feet, and Jesus says, first of all, come out of this man, you impure spirit, in verse 8. Then it kind of backtracks, and the demon shouts at the top of his voice in verse 7, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And then Jesus asks, what's your name? And the demon replies and begs Jesus to send him into the pigs. You know, it's interesting. Jesus, with this perfect authority, absolute authority, the demons recognized it. The demon was evil and had rebelled against Jesus eons ago, but recognized the authority of Jesus in this moment. Demons are angels who, before the beginning of time, chose to rebel with the devil against God. That's the group of beings we call the devil, and the devil can only be one place at one time. He's just an angel. And those angels that rebelled with him, that's the demons of today's world, of Jesus' world. There are some angels that didn't rebel in heaven, and they're still in heaven serving God, worshiping before him. They even come to earth sometimes and minister to us. So that's the background of what a demon is. It's an evil angel. Okay? And because of that, these angels, they had seen Jesus eons ago before they rebelled. And they knew who he was, even though they were evil. The demons recognized his authority. They knew the position of Jesus because they called him Son, Son of the Most High God. The demon also recognized Jesus' competence, meaning his ability to take care of them. They knew that he could do with them what they wanted, and that is why they begged to send into the herd of pigs. Jesus has authority over any insurmountable problem. Actually, with Jesus, the word insurmountable is a conflict of words. Is that an oxymoron? Jesus, insurmountable, doesn't go together. Now, for us, it does. We have problems we just can't overcome. But with Jesus, nothing is insurmountable. because he has the authority. And the demons knew this. They said, don't send us into torment. Luke's, his version of the story actually uses the word Hades. Don't send us to Hades. Please, Jesus, don't send us. We know you can. We know you have absolute authority. Please don't do that. And the demons were aware of this authority, and so he allowed them to go into the pigs. And the demons could only act with Jesus' permission. He has absolute authority over everything, every person, every being. I'm not sure why. Why did Jesus allow him to go into the pigs? Part of it is pigs were not allowed to be eaten by Jews, so maybe that's part of it. The animal rights people would be very upset at this, that you allowed 2,000 pigs to go to their death. And the Bible even teaches we should be aware of animals, our pets, our livestock. We should take care of them. The Bible has laws in the Old Testament about that. But there's an absolute gap between the animal kingdom and humans. Absolute gap. Okay? No evolution, no... God cares for the animals, and but they're not humans. And God's love is really for us humans, and he has authority over us and all of mankind. I'm using the word pigs. I thought, these are just big pigs, big hogs. They're pigs. So the demons went into the pigs, and we don't understand all of what's going on. Fact is, one of the commentaries said, we know so little of the spirit realm, we do well to tread it lightly. Sometimes we just have to say, I don't understand. Why did they go into the pigs? Why did the pigs run down the hill? Some of the ideas might be why. You remember that there was a boy released from demons, but before the demon came out, they threw the boy down in convulsions, and then the demon left, and they thought the boy was dead. You know, maybe instead of having ramifications for the man, Jesus said, well, just go to the pigs. We don't know. There's all kinds of ideas of what happened, but Jesus did allow 2,000 animals to go to their death. I like to follow farm news a little bit, so I looked it up. The price for a hog now is about $1 a pound, and hogs, when they're ready to go to market, is about 250 pounds. So in today's world, I calculated these 2,000 pigs were worth $500,000. It was an economic loss to these people to lose these pigs. And they rushed down the hill, and have any of you been into the fair when they allow the pigs? Some like Don had pigs. They take them through the little aisleway into the show ring, and they start squeaking and hollering. And imagine what 2,000 pigs full of demons running down a hill towards the lake would sound like. That'd be a wild scene, something you'd never seen before in your life. What noise and chaos! But Jesus saved the man from his trouble, and because of his authority. Another thing out of this that I want to make sure we remember, Jesus has all authority, and we have ideas how he should use that authority. And he doesn't use it the way we think all the time. We are in this sinful world. Sin still affects us. We still have disease and troubles, God doesn't just use his authority to make everything beautiful every day. I read a story, thinking of God does not always use his authority in the way we think about it. Have you ever read the book called The Greatest Generation? Tom Brokaw wrote it years ago. It's about World War II, and he has all kinds of stories, different individual stories about men or wives or all kinds of people in World War II. He wrote the book. He was amazed at how many letters and responses he got, emails, about people saying, this is my story, this is my dad's story, this is my... So he wrote another book called The Greatest Generation Speaks, and that's the book I'm reading. But the little excerpt, a guy wrote him a letter, and he was a Jewish chaplain. Why doesn't God use his authority all the time to save people, like the Jews of World War II? He, at the end of the war, General Eisenhower asked him to go to the places they had, they moved the people they found in the concentration camps, which was a huge surprise. If you read the stories, like a soldier might break through the woods or where, and here's this fence with people. They had no idea concentration camps even existed. So anyway, they release the people. They're being held at a place by the Allied soldiers, and General Eisenhower asked this Jewish chaplain, go to the people and find out what they need. What should we do? You know, how can we help these people? And he does. And a part of that, though, is he goes into a nearby concentration camp. He said he walks into a room. There's beautiful, nice, clean hooks. And in nice words, they say, hang up your clothes, remember where they're at so you can get them when you come back after you take your shower. And so the people did that. They walk into the next room. He said it has a huge iron door that they would close and turn the gas on to kill them. And he said at the bottom of that door, as the gas comes from above, was covered with scratches, fingernails. And then he said you go into the next room, and there's three huge furnaces that they put the bodies in. And he said behind all that, he saw bags, burlap bags, farm bags. And they, in German, they said fertilizer. He said he opened one up and he looked. In it was the same ash he had seen in the furnaces. And he said, I put my hand clear into that bag and pulled it out because he said, I never want to forget this. And this was right after the war. And I say all that to say, never doubt God's authority. What happens if you were in the concentration camp? You would have said, God doesn't have any authority. And even this Jewish chaplain said, I struggled for a long time with a good God allowing this to happen. Never forget God's authority, absolute authority in all these areas. But it may not work out in your life the way you want. But keep your faith in his absolute authority. Jesus doesn't always use his authority in the way we want, but keep your beliefs. So the second point is Jesus' big authority. Jesus has authority of competency. Jesus has the authority of position. Jesus has the authority of personality. And Jesus has the authority of character. The third big thing in this passage is big fear. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went to see what happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people about what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Sometimes Jesus' authority drives people away. In the end, we need to come under his authority as Christians. And some people won't do that. They fear God, they fear Jesus, and they reject him and rebel against him. They have this big authority, a big fear of the authority. Luke 8 says, then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. It's not the way it's exactly worded here, but that's a pretty sad statement. Leave, Jesus. And he got into the boat and left. And they were afraid. Don't turn away from the authority of Jesus in your life. Turn towards him. Turn towards him. Whatever your need is, don't turn away from Jesus. Turn towards him. These people did not understand the authority of Jesus. They did not understand the authority, again, of Jesus' competency, Jesus' position, Jesus' personality, and Jesus' character. And last but not least, the fourth big in this passage is the plans that Jesus had for the man. It seems like the man had a good idea. Let me get in the boat and go with you, Jesus, and learn about you. But Jesus has authority to direct us however he wants, and I'm not sure why he chose this, except it seems like in this region, Jesus doesn't return to this area. There was very little witness in this area, and he wanted the man to stay in this area and be his witness. Jesus has authority to direct our lives as he chooses. He said to the man, "Go to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you." Jesus' plans sometimes don't make sense to us, but if he tells you, do it. If he tells you, do it. They may not make sense, but he has the authority. Sometimes he allows difficulties and situations in our life that do not make sense to us, but they are for our benefit. And he told this man, go tell them, the people, what I have done for you. Little tidbit here. We often go tell people what God isn't doing for us. Don't do that. Go tell people what God has done for you. The blessings he's had, the salvation he's given you, all that he's done in your life. Go tell the people what God has done for you. Take an opportunity, every opportunity you have, to tell how much God has done. Again, Jesus has the authority of competence. Jesus has the authority of position. Jesus has the authority of personality. And Jesus has the authority of character. Recognize Jesus' absolute authority in your life and in this church and in all we do. And he has the character to love us no matter what. He says he'll work out all things for our good, and he can because of the authority he has. And you and me, we need to keep our faith in that authority of Jesus. Don't turn away from him. Turn towards him. When we don't understand, we don't know why, and we sure do have a really good idea, Jesus, what you could do with your authority, but he doesn't do it. Hold on to that faith in that situation. Remember those points. Jesus has the authority of competency. He can do it. He has the position. He is the Son of the Most High God. He has the personality. Jesus does have a personality, a holy, loving, kind personality. And I did the same thing twice. I don't know what the number four is. What?
Character.
I'm glad I can't think up here. Jesus has the authority of character, perfect in all he does. Let's remember that in our lives. Keep Jesus, Jesus has authority, keep your faith in it, and he does work for our good in everything in our lives. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.